today on Real Radio.
And he would come out there and he would just boast and make these claims attacking the God of Israel. And you can't do that. You can do that maybe for a while. You can do it maybe for most of your life. You can maybe do it until the day you're lying on your deathbed. But in the end, you will not taunt the God of Israel.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel tells that famous story about Goliath and, of course, David. It's one of the many life and death struggles between Israel and its enemies. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now to bring us more from chapter 17 called Winning the Battles of Life.
We pick up in our study. We have seen God move in many, many ways thus far in this chapter regarding David and Goliath. We saw that our faith needn't be shaken. We don't need to be afraid at a time like this. We don't need to be afraid at a time like this prophetically as we see what's going on in the world around us. Neither do we need to be afraid of the things that are in our lives. We would call them, in application, the Goliaths within our lives. We don't need to be afraid. We saw also, verses 39 to 47, that our lives have been empowered. And we talked a lot about this last time together. That our lives have been empowered. God desires to empower our lives. And in the life of David, as he was getting ready to fight this battle, God had not only prepared David for battle when he was a young boy, with the lion and with the bear, as he was a shepherd keeping watch over the flock of his father, preparing him practically, yes, but also to be a recipient of supernatural empowerment. Christian, are you waging the war of your spirituality with physical strength? If you are, you're losing. You will not be victorious. And we talked about the things, in fact, we spent a lot of time on the things that take away from our power. And one thing that we realize is that we're not to go to the world to expect power from the world. Our power is not given by the world's strength. Our power is given by the Holy Spirit of God. And we made warning about in these last days how in church, in a gathering of believers, that we be careful that we are a group of people who profess to know God but deny the power of God. And the power of God is the Holy Spirit of God. And we saw also that we are no match for the enemy. Remember Goliath, he's got all the armor. Remember last time, he's got all the shields and all the stuff. I mean, their army's bigger. Their army's got in this great position. They're there on the two hilltops with a valley below. 40 days, they've been taunting back and forth. And this monster of a man would come out. 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. Did you know that? Weird guy, strange duck. This Goliath was ugly man. And he would come out there and he would just boast and make these claims attacking the God of Israel. And you can't do that. You can do that maybe for a while. You can do it maybe for most of your life. You can maybe do it until the day you're lying on your deathbed. But in the end, you will not taunt the God of Israel. Well, what's he going to do? Stand up and be violent and chop my head off? No. We're talking about a spiritual thing here. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. You know all that. Jesus died on the cross for us. But if we will harden our hearts, if we will stiffen ourselves against God, then judgment comes. Can you imagine? Of course, it was not to happen. But what if Goliath, before getting the opportunity to have his neck or his head cut off, what if he fell on his knees and gave glory and honor to the God of Israel? What do you know, Christian, listen, what do you know about the nature of God? That God will forgive any man, any woman who will cry out to him. God would not say, well, you know what? Oh, I've got this kind of battle set up, Goliath, and it's really going well according to my plan, and I really need you to really lose your head over this one. If Goliath would have confessed, repented, but I tell you something, What about my life? What about your life? The things that God wants dead in our lives. God, is this dead in my life? Lord, is this thing, whatever it might be, is the Goliath of my life dead? Well, the power of this world, we are not equipped for on our own. We need the power of God. We talked about that very much so. And so why don't you look, 1 Samuel 17, picking up, around verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's little David speaking. Man, what a verse to memorize, people. For all of us now, in the problems of our lives. Then my family will know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. My family will know, my church will know, my friends will know, those who serve alongside me will know. David makes a claim, and this is a claim that David was assured of. The world's going to know by what's going to happen here. Tremendous faith. Now, was David proclaiming something that he hoped would come to pass? Or was he proclaiming something that he knew, certainly acting in faith, but he knew that God was going to do? He had an assurance of faith that God was going to be the victor. In a strange and interesting way, Goliath had cursed the God of David. And not only that, but Goliath was calling down curses upon David by his gods, mustering up all these gods that we talked about last time, these gods of pornographic, sick worship, freaked out things of their idols that have been unearthed throughout archaeological time. Oh, my God of this will destroy your God, David. My God of this will destroy your God, David. My God of that will destroy your God, David. And it's like the Mount Carmel thing, you know? Elijah standing there. And if you read the fine print, there's 850 prophets there total. 450 of Baal and the Astaroths, they're there, the pornographic gods of the universe at the time. Astaroth worship, twisted, freakish, sick. There's young ears and young faces I see tonight. I can't describe what they would do. It's not good. Sick worship. And there's just Elijah. Just Elijah? No, just Elijah and the God of the universe. And he's standing there on that mountaintop. And many of you have been there. And God supernaturally manifests his power. Do you know the nature of your God? This is a key thing in our Christian experience. Because you know what? When all else fails and your foundation is shaking, you can always lean on the fact that you know the nature of your great God, that he loves you with an everlasting love, that his thoughts toward you are for hope, and that he's on your side. And so we learned this. You look at verse 48, and it says, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David, look in your Bible, what does it say? Hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He's hurrying, he's running up there. Say, David, what do you need, glasses? No, the great thing is, you see this monster Goliath coming, David runs toward him. What a tremendous story. Okay, yeah, Goliath's huge, David's small. But behind, apparently, by faith, David can see that behind Goliath stands the God of Israel. Who's bigger? I mean, it looked like one of those little, you know, here's the, you know, this thing, and then this thing, and then this thing, and this little guy here, and then there's this bigger one. He's bigger than the little guy. The one in the middle is bigger than the little guy. But then the guy in the middle turns, and there's the next one next to him, and he's huge. And it's the God of Israel. What we need to see is that David was not running exactly toward Goliath. David was running toward his God. Because David knew by faith that the war would be taken care of in hand-to-hand. Christian, aren't we called to hand-to-hand spiritual combat in this spiritual world we live in? Fighting against principalities and powers, demonic spirits and those things. Hey, Pastor Jack, don't talk about that, don't talk about that. Oh, wake up, it's true. You see, David wasn't running exactly toward Goliath. He was running toward the God of victory. He knew that there was going to be a war. He knew that there was going to be a victory, and that in that victory, in that war, it would take place with Goliath as a factor. David runs toward Goliath because he knew where the action was going to be. David's not running forward saying, I'm such a good aim, I'm going to nail you and take you down, you big uncircumcised piece of pork. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, you know what, I'm really agile. Oh, watch. I can bring you down. You can swing your sword, I can run up your sword, park you and poke you in the eyes and run back down before you ever know it. He's not like Muhammad Ali and he's just, you know, with his feet. What I was doing standing here right now, because you couldn't see my feet, is I was moving my feet all around behind the pulpit. Remember the Muhammad Ali? Some of us are old enough to remember the shuffle. He's just, when, and the boxer, the guy Muhammad Ali would come into the ring and the boxer would be there and they'd be going like this and Muhammad Ali would start dancing. And the guy would go, what is this? I've never seen this before. And boom, he's down. David was not thinking, I'm just going to do a little dance. Do a little moonwalk thing, and the Goliath looks down and whoosh. No earthly planning. None of that stuff. Well, let's go out there. We sing the song, the battle belongs to the Lord. And then why do we go about to fight our spiritual battles with worldly implements? The battle belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. All right, now pull out your checkbooks. It almost seems like the prayer part was a covering just to get to the checkbook. Make that pen look like a sword. And you write out that victory. Just write it out. Wait a minute. No fleshly manipulation, no things being played with. David takes off because he knows there's going to be a war. And it's going to be between the God of Israel and this uncircumcised Philistine. And that's what's going on in your life and my life. Why is this thing so difficult to kill in my life? Answer, I've been trying to kill it on my own. Come on, let's fess up. I've been praying so hard and I still got the problem. I've tried everything. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. We're so funny. It's kind of like, you know, we discuss spiritual battles like backaches. I learned this weekend how to... I keep going to call it snowboard, but this is the wrong time of the year. Wakeboard. I fell in love with wakeboarding yesterday. Was it yesterday? Doesn't matter. First time I ever did in my life. It's very cool. You know what happened the next day? 1,200 milligrams of Advil. That's no joke. I could hardly get out of bed. I used physical powers to do something. And then finally, I told my daughter, I said, you know how I got up this time? Because, man, when are you going to get up? Okay, we're tired of pulling the boat around to pull you up. When are you going to get up? And, you know, being the spiritual guy that I am, I said, God, please help me to get up. Please just pick me up. And I got up. And they're going, oh, he got up finally. And I'm thinking, oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Now, they may think, well, he just hung in there and persevered. No, the boy was praying. Lord, help me. But we go to our spiritual battles in our lives, whatever it might be, our thought life, and we try to do, you know, just think a happy thought. We hum some friendly Disney tune. It doesn't work. You're to take the Machaira. Do you know what the Machaira is? The Machaira is the sword of the Spirit, which is the specific word of God to use in our life's battles. When you are having temptation thoughts or you're having this going on in your life, whatever it might be, don't quote, as I said before, don't quote Genesis 1:1. It doesn't work that way. Quote a specific verse, like go to Corinthians and say right then and there, Lord, your Bible says to bring every thought under the captivity of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm bringing this evil thought that's in my head under the captivity of Jesus Christ. And I pray that in your name, Lord. And you say, Pastor Jeff, I've done that. And what do you think the answer is, class? Do it again. And again, and again, and again. You know, I don't know, and why is it in church? You can have such a happy day, and you come to church, and we got worship, and people are praising the Lord, and we're just blessed, and some you can be sitting in church and have the most perverse thought in your mind that's not even, I mean, what is that? Two of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, where did that come from? It's like this photon. I don't think like this normal. What was that thought? Why did I think this way? There's a spiritual war going on. And David takes off. I mean, the Israeli army must be going, what is he doing? There's some guy standing there with holding an umbrella over Saul, King Saul's head, with the sun shining real bright. The armies are chanting and ranting and stuff, and Goliath's there, and David, he's getting ready for battle. He runs. This is amazing to me. People, Christian, we would say, if we're a bunch of guys together, buck up. It's come on, you know what? The Lord's our strength. He's given us the Bible. Let's go forward. It's going to work in Him. Let's go. And we get up and we move. It's hard to do, everybody, on your own. We talked about that on Sunday. It's hard to do on your own. I think God's designed it so we can't do it on our own. God's designed the church to be an organism that lives together. And a healthy sheep, by the way, have you ever seen healthy sheep? You can always tell a healthy sheep. A healthy sheep is always looking for the opposite sex sheep. You know what I mean? If it's a male sheep, is that the right term? You vets are going to all yell at me later. You know, you got a boy sheep and a girl sheep, whatever those things are called, sheep. And when the sheep are healthy, the sheep, it's like, hey, we're healthy. You know what I mean? We're feeling pretty good here. We're well fed. Got nice, safe pastures. Things are quiet. Got a good shepherd over there taking care of things. Sheepdogs are all cool. Everything's quiet. Hey, you want to... Want to go down to the creek for a little drink, you know, there in the brook and talk a little bit? And healthy sheep produce sheep. When sheep get together, you get more sheep. David's a shepherd. He knows how to take care of things. You know what? Yeah, that's right. He killed a lion and a bear. Oh, no. Last time, remember, he said he did it by the power of God. And if God delivered these enemies into my hands, He certainly delivered this man who is taunting the God of Israel. We're living in very prophetic times. Watch what happens. A tremendous age. The Bible tells us that God will stand for Israel and all the world will not. Ezekiel tells us in this Ezekiel battle that God will show up, as it were, and then it says the Jews will know in Israel that God sits upon His throne. It implies that they do not know that now. Guess what? 90%+ of Israelis in Israel today don't even believe in God. They teach the Bible as a storybook. Ask Steve if I'm telling you something different. They teach it as something that was made up to justify an existence of the Israeli people. They don't even believe. And yet that's exactly what the prophet said would happen. You turn to God and God will fight your victories. It's a very awesome moment. Verse 39, then David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and he slung it. 49, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So that the stone, listen to the graphic of this, is beautiful. Guys, you gotta love it. The stone sank into his forehead. It sank in. It wasn't a poof. It was a poof. The cool part is, listen, read the Bible very carefully. The stone didn't kill him. Read on. Let's be careful. Remember that. But watch. The stone didn't do the killing. Watch. It stunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. The "and killed him" is the cool part. Now, just before, I'm going to ask them to put this graphic up. It's very, very cool. Take a look at this. This is the cutest thing. Just before Goliath falls down, this could have been what the scene looked like. If you look to the screen, and I'm looking for my, there you go. Look at, is it not? Now that's just about as big as our mortgage payment looks. That's just about as big as that health problem feels. You say, "Jack, you know what? We're having a great time going through the Bible tonight, exciting and all that stuff. But you know what? My father is suffering from this or from that, as I am this evening. My sister is suffering horribly from a stroke. It's terrible. You want to cry." But sometimes we see our enemies like that little graphic, David standing there. Now, the Bible is very, very clear to always point out that we always appear to be the underdogs. Did you know that? God wants us that way. The underdog. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, it says, "The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness when you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his own son. In all the way that you went until you came to this place today." People, that's God. Did you already say in Deuteronomy 1, 30 and 31? Come on, I'll carry you. Christians, let's wake up. I tell you, we're going to wake up. It's better to wake up now while we're hearing it, lest God shake the earth and he really gets our attention. Be seated firm. Know your foundation. Our God is great. He's strong. He will stand for us. We just need to understand what that means. Sometimes through miraculous deliverance, like he did with Steve as those terrorists were coming in behind the fence that one night. So gently sometimes does God do a miracle, it appears to be something natural. Or we're living in the days when God says in the scriptures, men will hate one another and turn on each other. Evil days, days of terror. He's a powerful God we serve. And he loves. And yeah, and everybody's upset and everybody's concerned about things. But you know what? Our Goliath, in this case, he dies. And that's a good thing. And the things in our lives, they need to die. Maybe God wants to do some killing, so to speak, tonight with the things that trouble us. But the power of God, I'd always say this in verse 51, we rarely take it seriously.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a multi-part mini-series taken from our journey through 1 Samuel. Of course, chapter 17 is the famous account of the Philistine giant Goliath being slain by young David. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, which means that you can catch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can watch it on our new, well, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see Pastor Jack in some informative discussions and interviews covering topics like doctrine and apologetics, missions, politics and faith, evangelism, marriage and family. In fact, just browse the categories for yourself right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's connected to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like it, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Real Life with Jack Hibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.